It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Thanks, Josh. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We are not at Champy's for the first time in forever. We are actually here at the Athens Ford location. My name is Ryder DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos and Big Jim Donnan. Jim is a former Georgia head coach and will be answering all your questions. Today's the first day of spring practice, so I know you have them. We're going to try to get to as many of them as possible. But first and foremost, we want to thank the folks here at Athens Ford for letting us come out here. When I came out and was scouting locations to be sure we had a good spot, I saw these two vehicles behind me. I'm like, we need those in the background. And they've got that Mustang Shelby there with the 560 horsepower. That's just, I'm coveting. There's no other way to say it. I'm drastically coveting that vehicle. It's beautiful. And this little RS Focus here, if you put these two on the line, Brian was telling me, the general manager here, this little RS will beat it off the line. Now, of course, that Shelby will catch it, but
you used to be a drag racer, right?
You know, I would do it, but no, I don't have the nerve for that. I can barely drive my ugly old truck.
So. This guy that grew up next door to me, Ronnie Socks in Burlington, North Carolina, was a big-time drag racer, and he made a lot of money, and, I'm glad he was able to do it. He couldn't do anything else, but he was unbelievable. He'd go out to those dirt tracks, and just he was awesome. Ronnie Socks, great drag racer.
Well, then he'd love this little RS, and, of course, that Shelby. And then what you can't see is on the other side of us. Here's another reason you need to come out to Athens Ford. Come out and check out this Lancelot. Okay, this thing has been customized within an inch of its life. It's got carbon fiber everywhere. It is one of the most beautiful vehicles I've ever seen.
Really is. What's that out front there, those two?
They
got the giant Ford XLTs and the Raptors out there. And it's truck month. So, and even Roos came in kind of get a little drool on the corner of his mouth looking at those XLTs. And
you're the man, Roos. That's your haircut.
And if you want, he cleaned up a little bit.
Hey, he knew he had to come out in public.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's a good job.
The lighting's a lot more severe here than at Champy's.
Oh, please.
The thing about when you walk in there, you just get a good feel. You know, everybody's glad to see you. You know, at most places it's like that. But, here it's just a situation where everybody knows what their job is, and they really do a good job of overall here. I've researched it. Good service, good job.
Well, speaking of service, because if you look in the background, you can actually see they have the service bays back there. And if you've not been through the service bays, you really need to, because those are unreal. And in those service bays, they have their President's Choice Awards hanging up, because they were awarded the Presidential Service Awards for the last 3 years running, and they have those big signs up.
A lot of competition for that.
Exactly. And so, and again, that comes from the customers. And when you look behind us, you can actually see that they have a fantastic little waiting room for you. If you want to come out and get a lift kit put in, get service done on your vehicle, they do have drinks here. They will take care of you. They have some Cokes and all that stuff you want. And, of course, if you notice right back there, there's a little Starbucks sign. So they'll hook you up with some Starbucks too.
Yeah.
So if you need your oil changed, need any of that stuff done, the service here is phenomenal. It's all done with a smile. And, if you need a new or used vehicle, this is the only place you can get one with a lifetime powertrain warranty on a new or pre-owned vehicle. So swing by Athens Ford. Real quick, before we get too much further in the show, I want you to know that this is truck month. They have those XLT 150s out there, either $14,000 off, or you can lease one for $369. So $14,000 off of one of those.
That looks like you, man.
I'm just saying. It does. And of course, if you're poor like me, you can still come out here and get one of the Focus or the Fusion. You can the Fusion SE for $199 lease special, zero down. So for under $200, you can lease a vehicle. Two different types, the Focus or the Fusion. Of course, if you need that big one, that like Josh here, Josh came out and brought him, Josh from Champy's, came out and brought everybody lunch.
Josh brought me my own cup.
Yes, he did. I know, he's like, you gotta have his cup, Kirk. He could use one of them Super Duties, $12,000 off the Super Duty. So pretty impressive. And the one that I want, that Explorer XLT, I need a Ford Explorer because, you know, I drive, we go to all the different games and such, sure. You know. That one is $7,500 off or a $399 lease special. So
that sounds like it'd be a good bonus for your top recruiting guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, then yeah. Trent would love that, I'm sure.
Brutal.
That's
cold. Wow.
You walk, you just teed that up for
Jake's
me, man.
Jake's been doing some good stuff lately. I've been finding out.
Yeah, you had a little scoop a little while ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a scoop.
So, you're getting this first. We just put it up actually over on the site, but walking out of practice today, or out of the press conference, I guess, on the way over here to Athens Ford, I happened to come across a big-time recruit in town. That's Kier Elam, K-A-I-I-R. So I think it's Kier.
Kier.
Elam.
But now Elam, I know. I don't know that first name, but I know Elam.
Yeah, Matt Elam, you may remember.
Yeah, I do remember Matt Elam.
pretty well. I think a lot of people probably do. Rivals 250 guy, number 198 in the nation, 6'2", 180 pounds. He's a 2019 guy out of Palm Beach Gardens. Pretty impressive to get that guy to kick off spring
probably
practice.
Probably up here for spring break and just checking out the dogs. Yeah. I tell you, you can't beat going out to practice. You know, I know there'll be a lot of local guys come around here and watch the practice and see how the coaches interact with them. And it's one of the best recruiting tools. I mean, you can get them to the spring game. That's one thing. But, you know, when they get out there to practice and be able to interact and see and kind of visualize where they would be as far as a player and how they project, that's really good. That was one of the best things I ever did was get them around the spring or fall practice, you know, so they could see where they looked.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of guys, and when we have their updates after they visit, they said, look, I was out watching. They watched their position group, and they watched the coach who would be their position coach take them through drills and see what it would, you know. It's a lot easier to imagine yourself at the University of Georgia playing football, you know, for, you know, Coach Scott if you've watched Coach Scott coach a practice, you know. If you've seen what Cortez Hankton, nobody really knows him.
Right.
I mean, he is a Vanderbilt wide receivers coach, and you're thinking about, okay, I didn't see him when I visited Georgia last time. He's there now, so if Jaden Hazelwood comes up and gets to meet with him and watches how he runs a practice, that helps Jaden Hazelwood. So big getting those guys out of practice, like you said, and they lit off, you know, first day of practice. They already got a big name out there, so quite
impressive. The other good thing about that, too, is – you know, these guys have some really good high school coaches. There's no question about it. And they got good techniques and all that. But if you come watch a college practice, you can learn some things that will help you develop as on your own techniques. It's like these guys go to your rivals' camps and they learn from really established coaches. And it gives you an advantage going into your senior year to know, you know, a little bit better about what you know, how to get off press coverage, what to do against different looks. But we also got some other good sponsors here.
Well, I was just about to say that. I didn't want to get too far into it, but I did want to bring up – we have a new sponsor. Now, we mentioned Academia Brew Pub before, you know, and that was just out of – because they were on tap when we were at Champy's. And, you know, of course, Champy's is our longtime home, and, you know, they still have those lunch specials. Like I said, when he brought in those sandwich specials here – it was like a wolf pack descended. Yeah. I mean, it was
blood in the water.
I was a little late.
Yeah, it was tore up. So the folks here at Athens Ford obviously understand good sandwiches, and Champions provides those. But we mentioned Academia Brewing Company a few times simply because we were out there, and we were kind of courting them a little bit, and they were on tap. And so we had some of their beer. We had that calibration. We had the ESB and the
we got a big calibration here.
Oh, God, that's just the best beer. So anyway, we went out and met with the folks at Calibration, Matt and Dallas, and they're just lovely people. And I learned something. You mentioned taking a huge party out there to have, was it dinner or lunch?
Birthday lunch.
I was out there eating, of course, and I found out that Academia, granted, besides they have these wonderful beers, and I mean, it changes all the time. So, every time you go out there, there's going to be different beers, and huge on the IQ IPAs, all their different IPAs, but they were voted best new restaurant by Flagpole Magazine.
Yeah, and that's voted on by the residents of Athens.
Yes.
That's good.
So that's, you know.
So this isn't, you know, Flagpole going, hey, do you have an ad with us? Then you're the top new restaurant. No, this was actually voted on by the people. The same award that Champions has won for best fried chicken.
That's right. That's right.
Best new restaurant. So,
hey, you can't be on this show unless you're the best.
Yeah, well, there you go.
How in the world did you get
I don't know what to say. I'm leaving then.
No, you are the best. I mean.
But the point is.
But if you're not the best, you're in the top two.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Yeah. That's, I didn't even make the top three. There's three of us.
No,
so
yeah,
that's
you are.
But no, the point being, if you
glad
if
to have you, academia yeah, on the board there.
Love those folks coming on. It's great beer. It's phenomenal beer. Like I said, that calibration, I was talking to them, and I turned to Matt, and I'm like, I could get so happy drinking all this calibration. I was just grinning from ear to ear. So he could have said, yeah, we want you to do our advertising for free. I'd have been like, okay. So good.
I'll do it. I'll work for
beer. Yeah, I'll work for beer. Fantastic folks. Go out and visit them. It's really easy to get to. I mean, they're right up the street from where we are right in, here in Athens Ford, kind of the west end of Atlanta Highway. Keep going up Atlanta Highway towards the mall. Once you see that racetrack, they're right behind it. They have their big black bus out front. And the coolest mailbox you've ever seen. So swing by Academia, try their fantastic beers. And if you want to go to IQ IPA Pint Night at Amici's downtown Athens tomorrow, starting at 5, all the night owls who purchase a pint will get a free Academia pint glass. So,
oh, wow.
So if, well, you, if you're eating at Amici's.
You don't even have to steal it this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, not this time. And here's a cool thing. Tuesday's 5 o'clock, because today's Tuesday. After 5, it's seafood night. And the sous chef Brian will be making salmon cakes this week.
Oh, wow. You know, all right.
And Mondays after 5, it's half off wings.
For how long?
It just says Mondays after 5. So.
I say.
And you can get them coated with ale cheese.
You can, oh, wow.
I know.
I like their wings.
You swing by Athens Ford, pick out a new car, and go celebrate with dinner over at Academia. I think that's a solid move.
And if you're not ready for Academia, don't want a beer or you know, the best food in town, you know, swing by Your Pie. I was out at Your Pie the other day. They had their Pie Day, their 3.14, March 14th. It was unreal. They actually had a...
They were out the door at every single location
it was
I
fantastic.
Went by.
So congrats to the folks at Your Pie for a huge, huge day. Anyway, I also want to thank Cable East for being a sponsor and 365 Game Day. If you need gear, because now, hey, if you need your SEC championship gear, swing by 365 Game Day, pick it up. And, of course, 11 Live Sports. 11 Live was in town yesterday for the women's basketball game. The women did not have a good game. They lost to Duke, so their season's over. But Alex Clays and all the folks from 11 Live were in town. Be sure to like their page. That's what you're watching this on right now. I need to share this a couple times. But if you would, like their page and check out other reporting from Athens. They met with Tom Crean yesterday and talked to him, the new basketball coach. And
yeah, I guess we should talk about that today, too.
We might want to talk about that a little bit. We might want to talk about a new commit. But anyway, shout out to 11 Live Sports for letting us be on their page. Go ahead and tell us about the new basketball coach. I know you have his bio memorized.
Yeah, you know, I know when you think basketball, you think Jake Roos.
Jake Roos, yes.
But huge hire, I think, for Georgia. Tom Crean, obviously, previously of Indiana, you know, had a year off in between and, you know, just kind of getting himself recalibrated. Had some interviews for Pitt and, you know, with Georgia's, it's fair to say the second option. Thad Matta obviously was the guy they courted first. That didn't end up working out for him. But
well, you know, he's who we had on first on the list.
Sure,
we
absolutely
thought that they were going for Crean first and then maybe Thad Matta.
I got to give I think, you know, a lot of people give Greg McGarrity's grief. But I thought that they did a very nice job in bouncing back from Matta, you know, seemingly accepting the job, you know.
Well, he's accepted it. Let's call it what it is.
And then not returning.
He could say that he turned it down, but that's after he took it. I mean, I'm not going to throw our reporting under the bus.
Sure.
We were told by some of the highest-placed sources in the Athletic Association that Thad Matta was coming to be Georgia's basketball coach. He went home, changed his mind.
Yep.
Which is fair.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. And so I thought that they did a great job.
Coach could tell us maybe Glenn Mason did the same thing.
Right. And Bobby Crimmins.
There you go.
Bobby Crimmins and Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan went over to all the way to Orlando and then took the job and then came back. So it happens. You're better off if you're not sure. And, you know, Thad had some back issues and things like that. And you'd rather him be up front than, you know. Let me just tell you this. Vince Lombardi was the seventh guy offered the job at Green Bay. You think you're going to hold that against him? I mean,
yeah, so, right.
Well, they went on a message board, Coach.
I mean, he was the seventh guy that he was offered the job. Had never been a head coach before, been at for the Giants. So, hey, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how everything goes out. But it was good that they had another guy in mind, and we'll see what happens. Certainly, It'll be interesting to see how much Harbaugh comes around here now.
Yeah.
maybe you could come down here and learn how to score.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. Coach dropping bombs early on.
I'm talking about Harbaugh, not Crean.
I know. That was the point. So, Tom Crean's wife is Joni Harbaugh, the sister of the Harbaugh, the more famous Harbaughs, a gym up at Michigan. So a lot of people are like, well, you know, Jim's going to come around and start picking over what George is doing. That's not going to happen, folks.
Jim Harbaugh is a tremendous coach. I was just busting him a little bit. But you look at his background, what all he's done, the way he's won. And then his brother has already won the Super Bowl, too. And yeah. Very, you know, just different personalities. You know, you deal with people over the years, but they're both and his dad, Jack Harbaugh, I had a chance to get to know him when he was a coach at Western Kentucky, and just a tremendous man. And they're all from Jack Harbaugh's from around the Ohio area, where Mike Gottfried, our guy that we know through ESPN, who was a coach at Pittsburgh, and you know, everybody knows Mike. Mike's just really high on the Harbaugh family and Crean. You know, he's been around them their whole lives because they grew up with Mike, so he knows a lot about them.
I don't think that there's much love lost between Harbaugh and Kirby, though, especially over that Aubrey Solomon.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, remember the tweet about that Georgia coach too. You know,
the
shot Harbaugh took on Twitter too. So,
but he'll be down here.
And think about that, they're incredibly competitive, talented coaches. You know, they don't have to be friends because they're probably going to meet on the field at some point.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that. You know, watching Indiana over the years and Marquette, we saw Harbaugh actually sitting in, you know, right down beside the bench. So that's a family situation. That's a great sports family.
But what Georgia has in Tom Crean is one enthusiastic coach. He had a 27-minute opening statement in his press conference. He just went. It was a sermon. I actually went on Twitter and said, look, I know he's from Michigan, but this sounds like a tent revival here in the South. We're going to make him an honorary Southerner. He could have opened a church afterwards. And here's the thing. It was kind of intriguing. It wasn't. You didn't start rolling your eyes going, oh, my God, is he ever going to stop? It was full of energy, and the folks who were on the fence, if you will say, about, you know, well, we want Thad Matta, we want Tom Crean, we want Greg Marshall, you know, after watching that press conference, you're like, okay, this is a guy who, after taking a year off, as you said, seems absolutely focused. And Dan McDonald, our basketball guy, has had some very intriguing insider notes on our hoops board, our basketball board, about him talking to some very talented players. You know, they've already reached out to Ashton Hagans, the five-star point guard, who I think would just – if there's one guy you got to get Ashton Hagans back in it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's big to get Elias King.
I mean,
I think it's huge.
It'd be great, but it's not life or death. I mean, you know,
it
it's
is.
Not his
it
fault.
Is life or death.
I mean, seriously, you're gonna be able to judge on the long haul here.
Sure.
And see what happens.
This would, to me,
Ashton Hagans are bust.
To me, this would qualify, though, as an absolutely ridiculous start. To get Ashton back in the fold, that's a guy that, you know, you had pretty well locked down. You know,
but
things
he
were,
already knew him, though, didn't he? Didn't he coach him in some kind of summer league last summer?
Crean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Supposedly, he already knew who the guy was. He'd already coached him in the –
You come for the football knowledge, and then
and
Jim Donnan just starts
basketball.
I mean, I read
basketball.
Up on it, but I also read some of the deals where they had some limited success recruiting in Indiana on our board, too.
That's true.
You know,
I mean,
that was kind of the downfall there at the end. So, you know, there's going to be peaks and valleys, but the biggest deal is – it's like I used to tell our kids that come to camp – don't make rash judgment. Don't base it on the first time you eat here or the first time you go on the field. Base it on the 4 days you're here. And same thing with Coach Crean. I mean, he's, you know, anytime you get a job, it's usually because somebody else has, you know, gotten let go. So man, there's going to be some problems, but he'll do a good job here. And he got the support base. And you just got to go recruit. That's the name of the game. You got to get the players.
And I don't want to shorten anything. You know, Georgia has JoJo Tippins.
Amanze Ngumwe.
I was on a 11 Alive.
Amanze Ngumwe.
I was on 11 Alive the other night, and I tried to say that name, his last name, like six different times. Man,
I'm going to tell you something.
I really hope they cleaned it up.
I don't know that that's correct, but if you say it confidently, people will believe you.
You sit at home in the front of a mirror like Gruden making face and pronounce these names because you always hit them perfect.
So you got this.
Just tell me about the kid again that hurt his knee over there, a large – pronounce that, the kid from Marietta?
Aziz Ojulari.
That's it, baby. That's it. I love to hear you say that. I love to see that guy line up, and I love the fact that he's got a brother coming up, just
yes,
like Caden Mays. Can't beat those brothers.
No, you can't at all. But Amons, who, after I messed it up on 11 Alive like six times, I just couldn't say it. We call him Slim. His nickname is Slim. That is your Yante Maiden replacement.
His name's Slim?
Yeah, he ain't Slim anymore. Back in the day when he grew up to, 6 foot nine and was, 150 pounds, he was Slim. Now he is bulked out. That is a thick man. And when he gets to Georgia, he signed already. Amons, from talking to some scouts, that is the guy who...
Amons' nickname is Slim.
Is Slim, yeah. This forward, he ain't seeing a Slim anymore, but he still goes by it because it's what everybody knows him as. But if you get him, you bring Elias King back in, Ashton Hagens. And again, there's two other five stars,
floating
a lot of talent to float around that Crean has been in on. So Crean's off to a great, great start. And, a lot of people got to meet him the other day at the basketball game. He went up and shook hands with everybody in the pep band. He was finding – when he got to the airport, Anthony Dasher did some great reporting. He was out there when he first arrived. Remember, he took the job sight unseen practically.
Yep.
He did not come to Athens and visit.
He said that was the first time he'd been here since what, like
96? 91, yeah, when he was played for Western Kentucky and Hugh Durham beat him by like 54 points. So he hasn't been to Athens since.
We got to teach him how to say y'all, though. The first thing he said, are you guys Georgia fans?
Oh, no, yeah.
Hey, we got to learn how to say y'all now.
All right, let's go back to Thad Motta. We need a new coach. We can't have this.
It's just like I said when I got here, I said, hey, I like eating grits. That's the deal. But you can't say you guys around here. You got to say y'all.
He's going to ask somebody for a pop one day, and they're going to fire him on the spot.
Yeah, don't do that.
Sorry, Tom. You could be fired for cause in that situation. No buyout, no nothing.
Come on. You're talking about that guy's nickname, Slim. I can't believe it. Those two Brazilian guys moved to town. One's name was Juan and one's name Amal. And this guy asked him, he said, well, I've met Juan. He said, what's Amal like? He said, well, if you met Juan, you know Amal.
He sets me up every week. Every week he gets
Juan
me.
Juan and Amal.
Apparently, I'm getting busted on for saying salmon instead of salmon.
Salmon.
I said salmon.
Let's get some questions here.
You could have. Well, thanks for not busting on me like Carson did.
When's football starting?
Today, in fact. And actually, Georgia. I know spring practice kicks off today, but. Big news to start the week for the Bulldogs, and that was the commitment of Bill Norton, a four-star.
Hey, that was impressive. I watched that guy on tape, the big, strong guy, Bill Stanford type guy looking, big old strong. And to go into Memphis and just get after them right away.
Right after he visited Tennessee.
Ooh. Yeah, and that's good. You like that. But
We got him at 6'6", 265 pounds.
He's got a lot of potential, and, we've got off to a great start. Well, we have 9 or 10 now.
This is 9, This is 9. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me just double check this real quick. You've got 8 4 stars or better. So
wow.
Only 1-3 on
They'll
the
keep
the
moving
list
up
right now.
Too. But, I heard Kirby today in his press conference talk about getting ready for the spring and everything. And for the fans out there, one of the things that really is good that I think the NCAA has passed to help get ready, it's hard to go out and practice football, just go out there and have a meeting and then go out there and install and do what your stuff, even though you got great retention from the younger guys that have been there before. But they instituted a rule now where during the course of the 8 hours that a kid has for practice and lifting weights, they can actually do football-related teaching as long as you don't use a ball. So, walkthroughs are like that anyhow. So we've had an inordinate amount of walkthroughs to get ready for today. And I heard Kirby preface that in his meeting that a little further along. And that helps for sure a guy like Justin Fields, who has not been in the huddle or done anything, prior to December. But now you can have all these walkthroughs to go along with your strength training and all that. That was a very good move by the NCAA. I thought that was very, very smart by them, and it helps your team get ready. When you listen to our show to find stuff like that out, right?
Well, I'm going to interject real quick. I see Joseph Ledbetter walking behind us here, brother of Jonathan Ledbetter. He works out here at Athens Ford. Come out here and buy a truck.
I was getting ready to sign Joseph when he walked up to me today. He looks good in his uniform now. And he's getting some of Jonathan's gear, too. He looks good in that stuff. But
Now, you remember he was walking for 2 years, I believe?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
So he's still got the inside skin. Of course, I tried to hit him up to get some inside information on the team.
How'd that go for you?
That did not work well.
you got the non-disclosure with the family.
That's exact words he used. I said, so Kirby got you locked out too? He's like, no, but I got a non-disclosure. So we tried to – I tried digging some information out of him. But I want to jump in. Speaking of Kirby's Smarts press conference, he confirmed news that we reported a few months ago. You learned it first at UGASports.com. So – I know we talk about all our advertisers. We need to talk about who we are. We are UGASports.com. It is a subscription service. It's 27 cents a day. Swing by, get all the coverage. We're going to have amazing coverage for you for spring camp. We did tell our readers this a couple months ago that the coaches at UGA had some new titles. Take it away.
Yeah, so we obviously got the first media guide of the year while we were up there for today's opening press conference. Some new titles being doled out. Jim Chaney, offensive coordinator, but now in charge of tight ends. He's handling that position for the Bulldogs.
As Roddy said.
You've got James Coley, who's handling co-offensive coordinator duties, as well as quarterbacks coach.
As Roddy told
you. And you've got Cortez Hankton as the wide receivers coach. We knew that was coming.
As Roddy told you.
Yeah, and you've got Scott Fountain as special teams coordinator and kind of that 10th guy.
As Roddy. And we told him about Pittman being the co-coordinator too. I mean, he's very deserving of that. And, you know, people talk about titles and all that. The one good thing about a title that enhances your career is if you've been in a leadership capacity to that extent, it helps you if all of a sudden you're interviewing for a head job or something and you say, well, hey, you've never even been a coordinator. I mean, how are you going to be the head coach as compared to, hey, he was a co-coordinator? And certainly all these coaches want to move up and aspire, but those are very deserving in titles, and Kirby just doesn't handle them, you know, out. He knew that he needed to keep Coley. For the fans that don't remember, he was offered the offensive coordinator job at Texas A&M, where Jimbo Fisher had previously had him as a GA at LSU, and then he had him as a worked for him at Florida State, and then he went on to Miami as a coordinator. So he was very highly regarded. He's done a tremendous job here. And then, of course, thing I like about Jim Chaney, he's not into ego. I mean, he obviously he's still running the show. He got a nice raise. He's the coordinator, but staff harmony to keep everything in tow. He was able to keep Coley here, give him the title, let him work with the quarterbacks, who we also have a good situation there where he can be right with him. And we've got the guy that was here last year. We were able to keep him too.
Jay Johnson
as the offensive analyst. He works with them on, you know, a lot of the drill work and a lot of the film work. So, and then on top of it, bringing in Hankton, who has a background of professional playing as a professional and working in SEC, knows the league, knows the SEC East. So a very cohesive offensive staff, but at the same time, some new ideas, some new ways to do things, which, you know, you always want to keep growing. And then defensively, bringing in you know, the replacement for Shear was very, with Dan Lanning, was big because he had a guy that knows the system that can fit right in. So, and then on top of that, Fountain, I mean, come on, that was just a huge move last year. We gave him a lot of love, but he did a tremendous job. Our special teams went from like being 132nd in the country as far as rating all the way up to first or second, and that's a tremendous gain, and he deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, Kirby Smart touched on, you know, a number of those things today. He mentioned, first and foremost, he said, you know, it was huge for us to be able to keep James Coley because he's a great offensive mind, but additionally because of what a strong recruiter he is. And we knew that once when he was hired.
Yeah.
That's been proven time and time again since he's arrived. But, you know, for Kirby to point that out, it was very clear that that was something that mattered a great deal to them. Said he really likes what Cortez is bringing to this fold. Says that's a really sharp guy, really big personality, and a guy that they think is going to be very advantageous for them. And then, as you said about Scott Fouten, he said, you know, what can you say about that guy's work last year? And, you know, he took us, gave us momentum plays, is what he said. You know, particularly pointed out some of the things the special teams were able to do last year. And Dan Lanning, hey, he knows Dan Lanning inside and out, I think, at this point. Right. So
and not to be lost in the shuffle here is the great job that Coach McGee did last year, working our backs together, moving Sony and around, and getting Swift ready, keeping Chubb fresh, the way they rotated the guys, but also tremendous job he did recruiting units. Look at all the guys that he was responsible for.
National Recruiter of the Year.
The lead guy on Fields, the lead guy on Cook, the lead guy on Zamir White, and, you know, just helped out on – and I think he's in on Largie too, right? He was over there.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, he was, absolutely.
So when you look at the fact that he doesn't necessarily have a title, but he almost had a double in salary – his salary doubled, and that was because he's very deserving of it. But where he started out was a little lower than these other guys. But, you know, last year he was offered a job at Auburn, and he stayed here, which it was really big for us to keep him. And so I think we're going to have coaches that are going to be in demand, that's for sure. But they also like their boss. They like working for Kirby. They like living here. There's a lot to be said about Athens, Georgia. So we got a very cohesive but also expanding staff, and be able to retain most of them was very instrumental in getting ready for the spring, I thought.
I think we give short shift. I know at least I do. We don't give James Coley enough credit as a coach, because we've always talked about him as being a strong receiver, as a recruiter. We knew that. I mean, the first thing I ever said about him when – Kirby Smart announced the hire, or when we broke the news of the hire, was that they're picking up a huge recruiter. You know, the guy that had been the offensive coordinator at Florida State and Miami. And I don't think we give Dale McGee enough credit as a coach, because we know he's a strong recruiter. So we talk about those guys as recruiters, but we don't talk about them enough as coaches. And Kirby's not going to work to get these guys raises and, you know, huge promotions if they can't do both. So,
well, I feel like one of the things that I can add to this show is like, you guys are know a lot about beer. I watch these guys practice and teach, and I don't go out there a whole lot. But one of the things I always try to look at a coach from a standpoint, if I'm a player, what is he transmitting to me to help me do better? Is that drill really that good? Or what are we getting out of this practice from the standpoint? And I'm not talking about only here. You know, you go over and watch Florida practice. You're doing their game on TV and all that. And I always said, hey, you know, I never thought about doing it like this. It's probably a better way. Or hey, the way we do it's better. So it's good comparison. So I just feel like overwhelmingly since the day they got here, these guys are really good teachers. And Kirby demands that out of them, and he makes sure they keep expanding. And our guys didn't just sit around here in the off season. I mean, they went and shared with other coaches. They went and visited other places. Other schools came in here and shared their ideas. So we're always expanding there. But the one thing we're not going to be short on here is teaching ability and coaching ability. And if you just look at the technique that our defensive backs – how much they improved from day one to the end last year. Not an overwhelmingly talented group, but the technique that Tucker was able to put on them along with Kirby helping, and it was just huge the way they got. Our team got a lot better as the year went on. I mean, a lot better. I mean, I remember going out there to fall camp, and Kirby said, can you believe our secondary? I mean, he said, God, we're going to get torched, you know. And just talking like, I said, hey, they're going to get based. Man, I hope so. He said, you know. And then, you know, when you're getting ready to go to the Rose Bowl, he was saying, we've really improved a lot, but we're going against the premier guy, you know. But a lot of that had to do with our pass rush, too. We got a lot better there. And then Roquan didn't hurt either.
It doesn't hurt to have him Roquan.
Well, and you mentioned Coley and us not giving him enough credit. But if you look back over the guys that he's coached in the course of his career, I think that, you know, it's pretty much it's a who's who. You've got Philip Dorsett, Kelvin Benjamin, Andre Johnson's a guy he worked with. Roscoe Parrish was another. You know, there's a litany of guys that he's got under his belt and that he's been primarily responsible for coaching at some stage in their career. So
yeah, and they had that Miami program pretty close to being turned around after they went on probation and they got in there. It was a tough fight to get there, but it wasn't because of their lack of offense there in the end. You know, their defense had a hard time, but you know, he's a driven guy, he works hard, but I like the fact he was talking about there was a lot to be said about staying here because his family liked it here too. You know, that I promise you, you know, you move around, it takes its toll on your family, kids in school and moving from different schools. It's tough, you know, for them to go from one place to another and reestablish themselves. And I know I put my family through a lot there. You know, my girls and son were in several schools, and it was very difficult on them adjusting-wise. And I think – you need to look at that as a coach. You know, sometimes the grass looks greener, some of these jobs, but I don't think you see near as much transition, coaches leaving one place to another like you used to, because salaries are such and everything. You know, it's hard to get a job like Georgia right now. I mean, you know, they'll be stacked up like club sandwiches for this job if anybody, you know what I'm talking about, for assistant coaches.
We got a couple of questions rolling in here. I definitely want to hop in.
Let's get on
those.
The spring practice here. Dave, I need to get some more of that blue Powerade, man.
Jarvis Hanna says, what do you guys think about Trey Hill slimming down to 329 pounds since he got to Georgia after he weighed in at 360 pounds at the Army All-American game?
Well, that's a tremendous loss of weight, but at the same time never been in a program like this, even though he comes from a good high school program, from a standpoint of the nutrition value that he's getting, the weight program that's geared towards his specific position, the, you know, daily monitoring of everything he does, which they, you know, keep a real good toll on it. And they're always monitoring their body fat and all that. So that's going to be I think this guy's just a road grader type guy that's going to line up, and he might not know exactly what to do, but just, you know, hey, just get him out there and say come off the ball, because he's a powerful guy. And we're going to see the same thing with Salyer when he gets here. I mean, he's just those guys look like the kind of guys you want lining up for you. And then, you know, Isaiah Wilson has really done a good job. What did they say about his weight and everything?
Actually, we didn't touch too much on Isaiah today. A lot of the focus was how are they going to replace some of those missing parts from last year. And Kirby was very quick to say, hey, last year's last year. This is a different team completely. You know, you can't go back and lean on what we did last year. This is a new group of guys. They've got their own identity. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, I think, certainly how they're going to replace a lot of that. But, yeah, guys like Trey Hill going to go a long way to doing that. 360.
Well, you got Trey Hill and Caden Mays and Erickson, three guys
that
just give you tremendous depth right off the bat. They got a jump start in here to get ready for the fall. And you know, I think just from a meeting standpoint, there's so much you have to know as an offensive lineman with the different fronts and all that just going to give you a really good jump start. But, you know, Thomas showed last year he wasn't here in the spring, and he came in the summer camp.
Yeah, that worked out okay.
He had the ability. And I give a lot of credit to Pittman there. You know, this kid was definitely a technician and smart and everything, but, you know, for an offensive guy to start as a true freshman, as an offensive tackle in the SEC, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I think Jamari Salyer will be fine, too.
Oh, that's what we were just talking about. Just saying. I mean, he'll be good. He comes from the same coach, same program.
Well, that's my point is, you know, if Andrew Thomas can do it, Jamari Salyer can do it, too. So he's pretty legit.
Jarvis, I will say, too, we talked about him being coming down almost 30 pounds. Trey Hill was carrying 360 pretty damn well, I will say. You know, he was not looking, you know, some guys carry around a lot of bad weight. It's clear. I remember Deontay Demery was a kid who really stands out in my mind when I think back to that. Trey Hill, hey, man.
Hey, Julian Rochester carried around
some
bad weight.
Exactly.
What did he get any – feedback on how Wyatt was doing?
You know, we didn't talk about Wyatt today either. That was, you know, these guys were a lot more interested in the, you know, how Zamir Wyatt, you know, coming along.
Pretty good question there.
It is. And I'm sure most people out here wondering the same thing.
Number one back in the country.
Kirby Smart said, you know, he's progressing incredibly well off of that ACL injury at the end of the season. Had to have surgery on it, obviously. But they do believe that he's going to be able to participate in some walkthroughs and things of that nature in the spring. And
can you imagine how beneficial, though, Jake, that was for his family having enough confidence in Coach Smart and our doctors, Dr. Hancock, our training staff under Ron Corson to bring him down here in December, get that taken care of, knowing that, you know, they had to have some people in North Carolina they felt good about. But now, you know, his day-to-day care is with the physician that did the operation, his maintenance with the program, his rehab's under a guy that was there during the surgery. Ron Corson was right there. So I'm just not saying hunky-dory about everything. I'm not just – but I'm just telling you now from a family standpoint, a very reassuring to know that you're getting that kind of work on your son who's really – you know, has an unbelievable opportunity to be very wealthy down the road, but he's got to go through the process of getting that like Nick Chubb did, like a lot of guys do. But, hey, you just – guys like Karis, I remember we had this guy one time over there at Duke, Mike McGee, used to talk about field goal kickers, and they're just like streetcars. They come by every 20 minutes, you know. Hey, a guy like Zamir White, I'm telling you now, we've had some good ones here, but a guy that can run that fast and is that big, I mean, what does they have him weighing, 220?
Yeah, he's got to be right around that, I think.
And we saw him boxing the other day.
Yeah, well, that's good, but
– I'm just saying that that was that's a good scary way to watch.
But he makes it. He makes your mouth water, that's
but,
for sure.
But even then, you know, we could talk all day about a guy like Zamir White, but then everybody wants to know about Justin Fields.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, here's some quarterback, you know, out of
Well, the thing about it for Kirby and them, you know, we talk about analyzing and checking them out, but you can't go out there and practice throwing with the guys. You can't use a ball. Obviously, he can go out there with Jake Fromm and the other guys and do 7-on-7 because they know how to do it. They've taught them the plays, but the coaches can't be out there. But you know, he can definitely get out there with these guys and work at it. The only thing I've heard is just enormous arm strength, you know, from people that have watched him that are, you know, work around that aren't in football, but just unbelievable power ball, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how his accuracy develops. And I've said this on the show, and I want to make sure everybody, you know, because he's such a brilliant runner and great athlete, everybody just thinks dual threat, all that. But he is really a good thrower.
Yes,
he's a
absolutely.
Good passer. And that'll go hand in hand with this system. You know, a lot of the plays last year when Jake was very good at it, we talked about the – keeping the ball on the zone read, but most of those, talking to our coaching staff, were predetermined zone read with the tight end wrapping around. So it's, you know, really obvious. You know, we used to call it the Ray Charles read. You know, Ray Charles could see that you could keep that ball and go around the corner. But Jake did a great job, though, of getting around there and then running and making yards. You know, I mean, he was a very good, smart runner. And I think we'll see maybe a few of the plays this year with Justin where they'll just actually read it more. And maybe Jake will read it too, but which he's very capable of. But just some more quarterback runs here with Justin. But you got to be careful with only two quarterbacks. And then, of course, we got Bennett. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they work it this spring. And I'm sure they'll have on the black jersey, non-contact. And anybody that touches them – hey, they're going to get the wrath of Kirby Smart.
He got snipers set up for that type of thing. Don't touch his quarterback.
Yeah, the lasers are dancing around
those
guys.
Well, what's the advantage in that?
Nothing. Yeah.
Well, speaking of, Maverick James has a good question for you. Maverick James says, hey, Jake, was wondering what if do you think Walter Grant and Adam Anderson will be starters by midpoint in the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that
talk about hitting the quarterback. So that's
sure,
why.
Sure.
That's what we'll call a smooth transition, a good segue.
Mr. Seg.
I think I definitely think Walter Grant's first in line. I think that he's a guy who is going to be leaned on not even by midseason, I think like right out of the gate, to replace some of the production that they got out of Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy. He was a guy who cracked that last year as a freshman, so I don't think it's a situation that they're going to be able to keep him off the field very long. Adam Anderson, I'm pumping the brakes a little bit more on that. Maybe by midseason I could see that. He's a guy that I definitely think is going to get in and contribute, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him do it in the way that Walter Grant did last year. A guy who finds his way in some situational play, a guy who comes in to give those other guys a breather. Look, he's a great player in his own right. There's no doubt about it. But, they've got some good depth there. They've got some good experienced guys at that outside linebacker spot, and I think Adam can play himself in, though.
Good point, because, I mean, you throw the tape on there. I mean, this guy, human wrecking ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, he can make plays on both sides of the line of scrimmage, can really run. Got to help you on special teams, got to be a big force there. And the one thing about so many of our guys, like Grant and those guys, you know, even though we were loaded up at defensive end, you know, hey, we got a guy might go in the first round. You know, they're talking about Carter. Right?
Absolutely.
Maybe going in first. And then Bellamy and these guys. I mean, we had some really good – really national caliber guys, but Grant was able to get a lot of reps and played special teams and all that. So I thought a really salient point that Kirby made today was last spring in spring practice, Nick Chubb went through spring with 132 reps in special teams, you know, being a first team special teams guy. But because our freshman developed so quickly in the fall, he didn't have to play any special team. Sony Michel played 120-some snaps in the fall on special teams. So you're looking for some of these younger guys to get in, and that's really good coaching, using that kind of ability. Our coverage was so much better. Of course, Cam punted better, and we had great kickoffs. But it's just really important for a guy like Anderson can go out there and be a – cover guy or go in there and block a kick and do some things that'll really help us.
I see him coming in on third downs like DeAndre Walker did last year.
Yeah.
Okay, it's third down. We know this is a passing situation. You have no – like you said, that Ray Charles type thing. You have one job. We don't need you reading this tight end. Your job is to
nothing
pressure
against from Ray Charles.
I know what you're saying.
It's a symbolism of the
– but, again, DeAndre Walker didn't have to make some huge decisions coming in. You know, they're like, look, we know – they're expecting pressure from that side. We're going to send it, you know, and you're going to cut off that option. And if you get to him, great. And DeAndre Walker did that. So go back to that Georgia Tech game.
Absolutely.
Right. You remember last year when we were talking about Coach Tucker about the different packages that Georgia was going to be able to implement compared to the first year. And part of that was knowledge of the system, knowledge of your assignment, but also – the proliferation of maybe getting an extra guy, like all of a sudden J.R. Reed helps your dime package, and then he ends up being a starter because you lost Smith, you know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden all these guys start surfacing. So it's a lot easier to run those different looks if you got guys capable of filling in the void there. You know what I mean? You can piece those players in for specialty rush or nickel coverage or a guy that gets line up on the nose and knock them back. So I thought our defense really did a good job of piecemealing players in there for situational type deals, and that's why they're off the field so much. They really good third down defense last year compared to the year before.
We've got a couple more questions rolling
again,
in.
Again, Roquan didn't hurt either.
Yeah, it never does.
No, or Aaron Davis.
Put the Roquan in there.
Steve Burnett says, how much do you guys normally get to observe at practice? 10 minutes or so usually? Hey, 10 minutes would be – that'd be real nice, actually.
Y'all get 10?
Well, we love that.
Yeah, no, it's I'd say normally, what, between like 6 and 8?
Yeah.
Normally, something like that. A couple of three-minute periods. You get one long one every once in a while. But,
well, they got some open day – one practice for the fans that they had that
usually in the fall.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and then they have the clinic. Do you guys sign up as coaches to go to the clinic?
They recognize me now.
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
I was invited to. I'm not going to name the coaching staff that said I could be the official special teams consultant because I wanted to get in and watch one of those. But I see you, Brad Martin.
Because I do these podcasts and all, I try not to take advantage of that and go over there and say things that I saw. You know,
it's okay.
I know, but I don't
let it out.
I don't really go over there near as much as maybe I would if I wasn't doing this. But I think it's just fair to understand that these guys, you know, it's their that's their situation, and they just don't like to. There's a lot of that around the country now. I saw on the internet the other day where Chip Kelly's practicing in the mornings out there. In the morning, and he did that at Oregon too. And Tommy Tuberville said they started doing that at Cincinnati, and I think they do that at South Carolina too.
Oh, I don't like that. Hey, I don't want to get up to cover practice,
but
no, I mean the thing is, you're a student athlete, not athlete student. Go get your classes in. Be up and ready for that. Don't be wore out by the time you get to class.
Right.
Pay attention, do well in school, and then go do all the stuff in the afternoon.
Part of the reason they do that, though, is makes them go to bed early. They know they got to get up.
But they don't go to bed early.
Well, but, you know, who knows that?
They
but,
should.
But they anyhow, should, but they won't.
But they monitor their sleep, too. They got these sleep devices. I don't know how much they're actually doing. But, you know, who knows what's the best time to do it. But what are the questions?
Four o'clock's good.
Yeah, we've got, let's see, Maverick James again.
Maverick.
Another good one here. He says,
James played Maverick. What was his name? From James Garner.
James Garner.
From Norman, Oklahoma.
He says, do you
did
think –
Did you know James Garner lived there?
I did not, but I watched so many – I'm a big Westerns fan, so I've watched pretty much all the Western shows. I've read all the Western books.
The three most famous people from Norman, Oklahoma – we can go back to Bud Wilkinson and all that. Barry Switzer, Conway Twitty, and James Garner.
That's a pretty strong three right
Conway,
there.
Man. He was tough.
He says
– 40 number one hits or something?
It was good.
Do you think Brian Herrien and Holyfield compete for the number two back, or how do you see the depth chart for running back shaking out this year?
Well, I think we know so much about what Swift did, but, you know – because he got to play a little bit more, because a lot of the things he did were situational, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. It's going to be interesting to see how he does as an every down back, you know, hitting it up in there. We've seen that both of these guys got a lot of time their first year, maybe not Holyfield quite as much as Herrien, but he's a slashing type runner that can, you know, knock people around. He's got good speed. Both these guys are quality backs. And, of course, we're going to have Cook coming in, who's a lot like Sony. So, you know, our backfield situation's good. It's just a little bit, you know, up in the air because you don't know about what White's going to be able to do come fall. But he'll get some tremendous learning here. And like Kirby said today, you know, blitz pickup's important. I mean, you got to be able to protect the quarterback, and there's a lot of different looks. And, you know, most of these running backs in high school, they just turn and hand them the ball, and that's it. You know, they don't have to work on protection and all. But it's not that hard, though. I think sometimes people talk about, man, that's really tough, running blitz pickup. I mean, hey, there's a Sam, there's a Will, there's a, you know, there's a Mike. I mean, which one have I got, you know? And the quarterback, guy like Jake Fromm, he'll turn around and say, hey, you got 36. I mean, he knows every protection as good as the coaches, so that'll work pretty easily.
Chris Metcalf with a great follow-up question on that. He says, do you think Swift is better suited as a guy to come in and change the pace and just let Elijah or Brian be the guy to pound the rock?
You know, we'll have to see that, and I'll let you answer, but we'll have to see. But he was certainly a pounder in high school, and he made a lot of yards. So, I mean, that's a good point that you know a little bit more about what he showed catching the ball and all that, but he has some unbelievable acceleration. I mean, the way he ran that ball out the gate against Auburn, come on.
Yeah, after going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what helps a play.
Well, I'm going to compare him to the cars behind us, okay? That Shelby, that's your Zamir White, 560 horsepower, you know, a classic, you know. Car and driver is one of their favorites.
Everybody wants one.
You don't see that very – turns heads, you know. But Zamir White is that RS focus.
I mean, DeAndre Swift.
No, Swift is that focus there.
He can't beat
off,
both
off the
of
line.
Them,
huh? Off the line, he's faster.
Right.
Okay, his acceleration is lights out. Now, he might get caught. He might not. But he's a little bit smaller. And so you think, well, I don't know if he can be our every down back. But you've seen the numbers he's put up in the weight room. And you have
– very
I give you
physical.
Credit. I thought he was maybe that change of pace back. You know, he was the other guy, you know, in that backfield. Just like no one's talking about James Cook.
Right.
James Cook, you know, you talk about guys who could have a huge special teams contribution. James Cook's your other five-star back. But Zamir White's your Shelby. Swift is this the RS here. And then you get Holyfield, which is that Ford XLT. It's just going to – he will run you over. And I think that, you know, if you need that third and one, I don't see you handing the ball to Swift unless you're going to, like, you know, get in
outside.
You
never know, though. I had his third and one against Florida, and he threw it in the flat, and he made an unbelievable play. But I would say this about our offensive technology, the way we're actually using our offense – and I was a little worried about it going into the fall last year because I didn't think Eason could operate under center and under and as good as he needed to. And I felt like we gave up a lot of our running game once we went to the back to the spread. Sure. So I was worried about that, but it turned out to be golden because, you know, even though Eason did get hurt, Jake was pretty good at both of them, under center. And Eason made tremendous improvement under center, too. He looked good in the fall. But the point is, we've got a myriad of ways to hand the ball to the guys now that we didn't have 2 years
That's
ago.
That's a good point.
From the standpoint, we got really good run game out of the gun. You know what I mean? We got good inside zone, outside zone. We got the quarterback being able to – wrap around and keep it, but the other thing we got that's good, we can run the counter out of the zone, out of that, but we still got the power game out of the eye, the tall sweep, the you know, power O and those things, and our linemen are getting a lot more efficient at it. So I don't think it's going to hurt Swift if he's not a big time slasher to still be an every down back, because he can be an every down back if he's not an eye back out of the split, out of the spread. So I hope I made that point there. You see
did.
What I mean?
No, I was thinking about you mentioned the inside zone, and I thought it was telling when Big Ben Cleveland got in there, and he and Lamont Galliard took a guy and put him in the stands, put him back on the bus, and Nick Chubb went walking through there, and I started counting, you know, while watching the replay, I was like, 1, 2, 3 full seconds before anybody touched him because they opened up such a big hole.
Yeah.
Granted, they were in the wrong defense, but they took that they took that poor nose guard and absolutely abused
it.
And I don't know if Georgia adjusted the line or whatever, but, again, it was out of that spread like you're talking about, and they ran that inside, and it was like, holy crap, that
was
just beautiful.
Well, here's a great situation about Sam Pittman that I think player development and all that. Sometimes you worry more about what a guy can't do than what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. But in the case of, you know, Ben Cleveland was a very young guy coming here, came into college at 17 years old, and he you know, it took a little while to get going, but he can line up and come off the football. You know what I mean? He can line up there and pile drive a guy. He might be a little limited in some pass protections, but when you run an RPO, which is a run all the way, he doesn't have to pass. So they just made that move with him. Hey, let's accentuate what Ben can do and
yep.
And coach around that. And got a lot of success out of that Auburn game with him.
Yeah,
in the championship game. And I think sometimes you worry too much about the defense. What, you know, all the things. Well, what if they do this? What if they do that? Why are we even going to the game then? That's what I used to tell that guy. Be in a meeting and what if they do this? Well, hey, they could do it, but, you know, the fear of the unknown is worse than fear itself.
Well, that's what we've been told so many times that we've been told repeatedly, take what the defense gives you. You know, so you're calling your plays based on how the defense lines up. And there were times last year, I don't think that happened at all, because they're like, look, we're going to run this play. And even Coach Pittman came out and said, yeah, we were bullies.
Yeah,
it was
like
bully
that.
Ball. You know?
I like it when everybody in the stadium, including the little old lady from Pasadena, knows you're going to have to line up and Burma Road it, and you can do it. we couldn't do that first year. I mean, we were a little bit cute sometimes, tried some things, because we weren't that effective in the offensive line. But there's a real comforting type deal when you know you're going to run, the defense knows you're going to run, and you still run it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I like. And a good team, I've always felt like this, a good team has tendencies. If you're any good, you got some bread and butter.
Yeah.
You know, like Coach Dooley said, hey, we got to have some bread and butter. Hey, that bread and butter was 44 and 45. We're going to run that. You know, when you come over on the sideline, you be standing there, and, you know, the quarterback, you'd be thinking, well, we probably hit this. He said, hell, we're going to run 44, and if it's not there, we'll run 45. But the idea, I can get over Coach Dooley, because he had a tremendous belief. I'm talking about Bill. I'm sure Vince too, that, you know, we were going to come heck or high water. We were going to run that play,
yeah,
regardless of what they did. And that's what you got to have. You got to have something you can hang your hat on. And I thought we hung our hat on a lot of good things. We had some really good passing game thoughts that hit people. And we hadn't even gotten over to the point about talking about Coley, the way he brought Ridley and McCole Hardman along, you know, and then the way that Terry Godwin and Javon Wims too. So,
oh, absolutely.
But the players deserve the credit too. But I'm excited about those three receivers I just mentioned. I just think all three of those guys are going to be. And then we got Landers and
Matt Landers.
Yeah, Matt Landers and Jeremiah Holloman.
And Holloman, Holloman is – very skilled guy. I mean, he can jump up and get the ball. So, and then we got those tight ends. So it's going to be exciting. But the one thing that we need to curb our enthusiasm a little bit is you only got like 8 days of pads out there, and you only got 15 practices. So, you know, the first week of spring, it will be over. Next week we'll be talking about we're 1/4 away from, you know, out of the way. So we'll just have to see. But there's going to be some exciting competition out there.
Well, speaking of, practice is going to start here in a couple hours. We need to get out of here and head over to practice. We will have
What time do you get to go in there?
Do we even know yet?
I think it's around four.
We were told practice starts at 4. The media availability was to be determined, so we'll get over there early and find out when we can go down.
Yeah.
What are you having, the spicy teriyaki? Are you ordering something online there?
No,
he's checking out Academia.
Yeah.
Over there.
Yes.
See, he's got the Academia beer in front of him. And we want to give a quick shout out to Athens Ford for letting us come out here today and take
disrupt
over their sales
their
business. For us. Yeah, exactly. sales will pick back up after we leave. So be sure to swing out to Athens Ford. Be sure to get the F-150 for $14,000 off or the $369 truck month special lease. That's a fantastic deal. You can get the Focus or the Fusion SE for $199 lease. So two different vehicles you can lease for under $200. So swing out and pick those up. Big shout out to Champions for bringing these guys lunch. And, you know, thanks for letting us come out here. Thanks for Academia for joining us. Like I said, best new restaurant in Athens. It is a brew company. They do brew beer. They brew a ton of beer. But it's also the best new restaurant in town. So if you're not a huge beer person and you like to eat, you know, most people do.
Enjoy both.
Swing by Academia. Of course, Your Pie. Shout out to Drew French and the folks for having a fantastic pie day, that $3.14 pie. I went out and had one. And guess what? They had Academia beer out there. So I had Your Pie with Academia beer. Fantastic
win-win
combination. It was absolutely.
Good combo.
Shout out to 365 Game Day, 11 Alive, and again, 11 Alive, their ratings will come back up as soon as we get off the air, too.
Cable East.
And Cable East and Robert Ball out in Statham. Folks, tune in next Tuesday at noon. We will have a week's worth of spring practice to talk about. And this afternoon, of course, we will have practice observations, photo gallery. Oh, and all that video we can shoot at practice. Oh.
They let you video?
No.
Make sure to share this, too, as well, guys. And check us out on Google Play
and
on iTunes.
Give away those gloves.
We will do that next.
All right, that's good.
Stay tuned.
All right, thanks
for
watching.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.